It is the Nintendo PowerCast, episode 343. I'm your host, N64 Josh. Player 2, Crawler, what's up, dude?
Hey, how's it going? Crawler coming at you.
Player 3, Johnny Bo, what's happening?
I'm tired, man. It's late.
Player 4, Cheesy!
What's going on, Cheese Curds? I'm glad that we all are just happy, and we're not going to pick on anyone during this podcast, and it's just going to go smooth.
Cheesy!
Too late. It's yeah. I think we all are on pretty good moods though. I mean, I'd be in a better mood if Nintendo would just give us a direct already, you know. But
next week, like we said, yeah. Like I said,
I gave it 2 weeks. So okay. That's
possible. A Pokemon thing. That doesn't count. It's not a real.
We talked on Monday. I don't even remember what we talked about on Monday. Like, I know we said that. I don't remember what I said. Like,
we talked about the directs and GoldenEye and the big mouth.
Yeah, I'm just saying I don't remember. I think I said sometime in February, but I don't remember what I said, when I said, or what I said.
I don't remember either, you know, because all I do is talk on podcasts all day long, and then I forget everything that's come out of my mouth. But before we get started, I do just want to say, hey, Crawler, what's your Twitter?
It's Nightcrawler724, Nightcrawlers without the E. That's the best way to find me.
Johnny Bo, what about you? Where can people follow you?
I'm Johnny Bo everywhere. Twitch, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram. We should really consolidate somehow.
It's called Linktree.
Get your Linktree going, you know, and get that
OF in there.
Linktree.com/Johnny Bo.
Not
Cheesy. Cheesy, how about you? Where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. I think that's it. There's probably other Farmers places. Only. CheesyC64, CheezyC64.
Perfect. Guys, I'm N64 Josh everywhere. Come hang out, follow. You can jump in the Discord, N64Josh.com/Discord. And we got some cool stuff to talk about. I can already see chat. Shovel Bob is like, Mario Maker 3? Like, yo, we're just speculating. Like, that's
is speculation at this point, there. Or is it pretty much confirmed? I mean, let's be honest here.
It's Oh, good. I just put Wisebot into the. Come on, why does it keep stop? There we go. It's back again. Okay, whatever. We're good. So, yeah, we're going to talk about the Arceus stuff because there's some new stuff that dropped today. And we're also going to talk, like, I've been back on the Mario Maker grind, and it just seems weird to me that Nintendo walked away from that game so fast. And the only other game they did that with on the Switch is Mario Party. And then, like,
yeah, but you know, you want to know how many more copies Super Mario Party sold than Mario Maker?
Mario Maker sold way more, like 7 triple. Million. So it's like half, right? It's half as many?
Yeah, it's about half, yeah.
Yeah.
How many did it sell on Wii U?
I don't have that number. I just looked up two.
Probably like
night.
2.5 or 3.
3, maybe.
Probably like 3 total, like just 3. Because that's all the
three
Wii
of us here.
Out there. Yeah. Yeah, so. Chat wants to know, how do y'all pronounce Arceus? Is that correct?
I say Arceus.
Yeah.
I say Arceus.
I say Arceus.
So, just, that Pokemon game that's coming out, you know?
Arceus?
No, Crawler pronounces it Archie.
Arceus?
I caught Archie last night.
I love it. So, I'm gonna get this up on the screen here. Now, I know if you guys are just listening, you're not going to see this, but we're going to kind of go through this.
Four million. 4 million for Mario Maker on Wii U.
I like Shovel Bob's response. It definitely shows how he pronounces the name.
So here we go. We're gonna jump right into Arceus, kind of do a trailer breakdown. These trailers came out in Japan. NintendoEverything.com. You can find all. There's like 6 of these things that you can watch. I don't know if some of them are older or not. They're just putting them all together. But
this is the new one.
This is today. The newest one. It's about 6 minutes long. And I've been seeing like kind of some negatives, more negatives on Twitter than positives of people like, oh, look at that
what?
PS2 mountain. Look at that PS2 negatives mountain.
On Twitter?
Yeah.
Like for Pokemon? Dude.
I will never. Ask this question though. Like looking at those opening shots, does it seem a little does the world seem a little bit empty?
I mean, it's an open world game, so
yes. And on purpose, because it's pre the world being developed in the Sinnoh region. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You kind of knew that going in that it was
maybe
be
the more
wild.
That you play it, you discover more, and it like becomes more full.
Yeah, I mean, they are only showing us like the beginning area, and then some other areas.
Chat just said nobody hates Pokemon more than Pokemon. So there you go. But I'm gonna take it back just a little bit here. Like you can see him throwing some Pokeballs and stuff like that. Like, what do we know about this game? What are we do? What's the objective here? I think Cheesy, you were kind of mentioning some stuff. Like what's the point?
I believe it's just to research the Pokemon because this is a time before Pokedex and like computers. And so you're just going out catching Pokemon. But I honestly don't know. I feel like they really haven't said much. They've shown us what the game looks like and how the Pokemon interact and how we can traverse. But that's pretty much it. I'm expecting to hear more in a Pokemon Presents.
Looking at this trailer, I mean, there's like, that guy's a nightmare right there. That hammerhead shark, Asaurus. That guy is terrifying.
I know the name. I didn't want to lend you a hand to see what you came up with there.
Yeah, it's definitely hammerhead shark, Asaurus. But I mean, seeing them do their moves in the wild, that's kind of cool. That's new. Right? That's not something we've really seen before. They usually just bump into you and then you fight, right? I mean,
yeah, Pokemon Sword and Shield, they would kind of run after you. That was kind of the first that we had seen that.
Let's Go had it too.
Oh, did they?
Could see them out in the overworld.
Yeah, you can see that on the wild.
But like watching the different moves happening, like it's almost like you've got to be watching on all sides because you could be getting attacked, you know, it's not just like, oh, we're going to trigger the fight. Like I feel like after watching just a little bit of this, like it's going to be much more of a Breath of the Wild style. Like as if you were running into enemies and fighting in real time, you know, it looks like at some point, like, cause we're seeing a turn-based battle in front of us, but then I also wonder if it's going to be the kind of thing where it's almost like you have to double back when you're like, yo, I don't have anything strong enough to even fight this, so it won't trigger the fight sequence. You know, I don't know. We're just speculating at this point, right? And that, I mean, it looked like he was about to throw a ball at that Pokemon, then it took off. And here's where we're seeing that they're all just attacking. How do you even trigger the fight? You know, what's the minus button do? And the up looks like you get into a bag.
That's your satchel. And then the down is looks like you're your Pokedex or whatever it's going to be called, how you like enter the information or you review the information that you found.
Yeah. So it looks like chat's asking about the date, and it is the 28th of January is when this game releases. So, I mean, so if this game is essentially a collect-a-thon, how do you like,
for you guys
that not only how you win, but like what, like for you longtime Pokemon fans, like does this sound like something that's going to be fun? Is this still
Pokemon
considered?
Games have always been collectathons, though.
Well, but like, it seems like this is more of the put. Like, it's almost like because you're doing research to fully complete the game. Like, I don't mean fully complete, but I mean like you beat the game by completing your Pokedex versus before you beat the game by beating the Magnificent Seven or
yes
whatever?
And no, but like to me the challenge in this game is going to be there's some kind of evil something possessing these Pokemon, because you see the ones with the red eyes that attack you. I think that's going to be the overarching story that you have to solve and fix and probably fight some force that is causing it. I mean, I think that's what your research is going to uncover.
Do you think, I mean, like, let's get super nerdy with this thing. Like, do you think it's going to be the kind of thing that, like, this starts to give a glimpse into, like, how, like, the relationship between man and Pokemon became, you know, became a thing? Like, is this to give us more lore into that, into that world, do you think? Cheesy, you got the crazy eye going on right now. What do you
think? Well, I was trying to figure out if I wanted to answer, but like, I really don't know that much when it comes to Pokemon, and we just played Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, and so I think it kind of gives us a little bit of a glimpse as to what has happened in the future, since this game is in the past. I think that's kind of the story that they are wanting to tell, is how Pokemon are used in the future. But what I was thinking was, has Pokemon ever confirmed that this is a open world game, or are we just assuming it is? Did they say anything?
I think they've said, like, the regions, like, you go to a biome or whatever, and it's, you set up a camp and it's there for you to explore. I do think they've said that, but I'm not 1000% sure on that.
Yeah, I mean, like, these areas, they look so nice. That desert and the like fire area. So if we can travel back to them, that would be awesome. I just don't know if the story is going to be more. It doesn't seem like it's going to be linear, but what I'm afraid of is that it's going to be more side quests, more than anything.
I'm sure it's going to be guardrailed.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about that then. Do you think that it's going to be, are we going to be leveling up ourselves so that we could, because we saw a boss fight in this trailer. Is it?
I'm going, like, to take down Arceus with my bare hands.
It does seem to be you they're attacking. So yes, maybe. I don't know.
Because that'd be cool.
But you also don't level up Link in Breath of the Wild. I mean, you get some abilities. So maybe that's the route.
You get more health.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, true.
And stamina to be able to climb in different areas and stuff.
I wonder what the traversal is going to be like, because they show you flying around and riding mounted around. And
mounted, like, is that and water be and sky. Yeah.
Limited somehow? Like, or is it going to be, if you could see it, you could go there?
It's Pokemon. It's going to be limited.
Well, and I'm assuming it might be later on in the game, because they kind of look like legendary-esque. Again, I'm a Pokemon noob. I always will be. But like, they're flying around like a hang glider, very, very Breath of the Wild style, right? But it's on a bird. And maybe that's our fast travel. We can only just assume at this point that that's going to be the fast travel. But then also showed them riding on what looked kind of like a snow deer or something, you know? And so, but what do you guys think of this aspect? Like, they showed it right at the beginning where you have to stay hidden to be able to throw, like, if you startle them, when you're trying to catch them, they bounce, right? So what are these different mechanics? Is there going to be is the, in essence, the quick ball going to be your ability to sneak and throw without having to fight? But then in some cases, are they going to want to fight the other Pokemon you have with you so that you can wear it down and then capture it old school way? And then you're going to have these. So it almost seems like we're going to have four different encounters looking at this trailer. Right, it looks like you're going to have, like, be able to sneak and catch, fight and catch, maybe have to fight and kill if they have the red eyes. We don't really know what that story is there. And then And then there's like these boss fights as well, you know? And so like, will our sneak improve? Is it going to be like a stealth game in a way? Like, is that something that I wonder? I'm just curious, like how much our character is going to play a part in this versus like, oh, it's just going to be like Pokeball upgrades over time. Or
also,
or...
I wonder if they're going to reference other regions, because that there was like a smokestack in one of the scenes, and that is a different regional form of a Pokemon. Like, this is a Sinnoh region or a Hisuian or whatever. I forget what they call it. But the factory had, like, for the Alolan region, you can see it here. Like, that's a Weezing.
Yeah.
Weezing.
I just know that was a Galar.
Galar or Weezing.
I have no idea.
I don't know if that was just...
You're speaking Chinese to Josh. Oh, so.
So Pokemon Sword and Shield is based in the Galar region. This is in Sinnoh. So I don't know if that was just like a reference, just like a, you know, a little fan service, or if that means there's going to be other regions or other regional places to go to.
Yeah, look at all the different travel. Look at
this looks awesome. It really does. This game.
Yeah.
I don't care if it looks empty. I just want to like fly around and run around. Like, that's what's most fun of Breath of the Wild, is just exploring and finding stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it looks like you're going to be able to do here. So I'm excited.
Yeah. I think if anything, like, this is going to bring excitement to Pokemon fans and non-Pokemon fans, because this is something completely different than what we're used to. And maybe this is also kind of a test trial for Pokemon Gen 9. You know, maybe this is the direction that they're going in the future, or maybe this is just a spinoff game and the Gen 9 is going to go back to the mainline, which I don't know if Pokemon has said this is a mainline game or not.
I think they did confirm that it's.
Oh, mainline. Did they? Well, yeah. Maybe this is the new direction that they're going.
I also heard, I saw people are speculating that Gen 9 will also come this year, because the gap between generations has always been 3 years.
And has it been that long since Sword and Shield?
It's been 3 years in November of 2022. Oof. So. Wow. That's just a lot of Pokemon, though. I mean, we have the remakes, now we have Arceus. And if we get Gen 9.
Yeah, but we had Mystery Dungeon and Snap, all like with Let's Go and Sword. Like, it seems like they're. I mean, you don't become the most successful entertainment brand in the world by not putting it out, right? So.
And you're going to see Pokemon in your sleep here pretty soon. So.
Yeah, Pokemon Sleep.
Excited.
It's in Let's Go already, or not Let's Go. What's it called? What's it on your phone?
Pokemon Go?
Just Go?
Pokemon Go. Yeah, yeah.
Or you're talking about brush your teeth Pokemon.
No. Like, I think they said I have that on my phone too, because my kids always ask about that. but yeah, I think wasn't sleep data shown to be in some kind of update for Go?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've seen online. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the thing is, especially after watching this trailer, because when they first showed this trailer, I was like kind of checked out, honestly.
I was too.
After watching this, I'm just like, is it the 28th yet? Yeah. I'm not even really a Pokemon fan, right? I'm not, like, there's no nostalgia, anything, but I couldn't put down Pearl, and I'm thinking about open up Diamond and playing through that. And there's like no difference in the two games, really, right? Like,
just different Pokemon.
Like, it's just crazy to me. But
well, and I pre-ordered Arceus through the Pokemon Center, so I could get a plushie pre-order. Yeah, a plushie pre-order bonus. So I mean,
you guys make fun of me for buying it digitally.
You're the sucker, because I have all of this sitting next to me. You know,
I made. $3 from pre-ordering
I make 60 cents.
But I think, I think there's some, there's other pre-order bonuses. Like I know some places have like a special outfit you could get.
Yeah. GameStop has something. Cause I was looking and GameStop has something and Best Buy maybe has something. And they're
gotta
small,
make you buy multiple copies somehow. You know?
They're small they little the something, but like Target and Walmart don't have anything listed. So
I'm going to buy a dual pack.
Walmart's the best way if you just don't want to pay full price. You just go. Sometimes you have to wait a day or two, but
wait a week later and then you'll be golden.
Yeah, they never stock it on the day.
So I would say stay tuned because we know we're going to be getting more info about this game, right? Like they're already drip feeding it to the East. Like we should be getting. I would assume they're going to localize these trailers at very least. Right. If there's not some kind of,
because there's a lot of talking in it that we just can't understand.
Hey, it might be in
menus
Japanese.
and you other. Know,
they might not have localized it. They might have been like,
we're going to have to learn Japanese.
You got to learn Japanese. This down. Is actually I'm Rosetta down. Stone.
Yes.
With Japanese.
That's what Arceus means is Rosetta Stone. And I'm down though. I would be totally down. Japanese
actually,
is-
so I started playing Pokemon Brilliant Diamond on my Twitch channel doing a Nuzlocke. Hmm. And that really got me back into Pokemon. It's like a different experience. And it's just fun. And you know, my Piplup almost died like immediately because I didn't realize an Abra can have Charge Beam.
And you can't run away from Abras either. They
well
they
no the, it was a battle. It was a trainer battle.
Oh, okay.
And it like my eye like I was so scared. My eyes lit up. I'm like, oh my god, I'm gonna get one shot by this stupid Abra. It was in a school, and I almost got schooled. You know?
Oh wow. But I know what you mean. Like. I guess I couldn't put the game down. I could not put Pearl down. Like I know as I typed in the Discord chat, guys, I'm this far. Like, you know, if Crawler wasn't sitting, he probably almost fell. Right. Or at least was looking for something.
I think I joked on the podcast. I was like, oh, Josh won't finish this. And you're like, I'm already done. Like, I think I had like three badges at that point. So yeah. I mean, I've since become a Pokemon master as well, but there's more to be done in the battle tower, which gets kind of tedious, but
yeah, it's just, I don't know. I'm excited for the January game, right? Because this is what we got. This is what we got.
It's big. Like, it's a Pokemon game. It's not, I mean, Mario 3D World was, you know, that's a big game, but it's a port. Right. And we've all played it.
I mean, I dove into that head first when it came out because Bowser's Fury was fun. I spent I think a full like week or two playing that game, 100%ed it and enjoyed my time with that game. So I mean Nintendo can put out almost whatever they want, and if they have a captive audience and it's their game that they're focusing on, like it's gonna do well and people are gonna enjoy spending time with it. And it's also there's nothing else really coming out this time.
Right.
For anybody. Just,
yeah.
Not just Nintendo.
It's leftover sales and people still playing the big releases from November and December because Christmas and all that kind of stuff.
So we're gonna do a little bit of a transition here. We can't say anything about this game other than I'm gonna tell everybody go check out the trailer for Blackwind. Okay. We're all four playing it. That's all we can say. No, just we're all four playing it. And there's going to be a greater focus on some indie titles in the very near future. Right? Like where we're all playing together here. If you're watching, you guys can see a glimpse of some of the
maybe hold on whoa
some of the well it started and then it turned into a slideshow And then Crawler accidentally showed us his search history.
Exclusively on the YouTube channel.
Exclusively. Just look at this. Look at this game. Like, it looks really, really cool. If you're only listening, it's a
mech. It's almost twin stick shooter esque. I mean, there's different options that you get out of it, but it's a twin stick shooter. It's pretty cool.
And but it's like mech game meets Diablo almost, right? Mm-hmm. Like kind of the play style. So yeah, just stay tuned for more on that. But I just want you guys to have it on your radar if it's not, because it's coming
on sale
out
right now on pre-sale. It's like $3 or $4 off.
Yeah. Yeah. Even like Mikey, the Time Wizard, is like, it does look cool. I might have to get this. Well, it is on sale right now. So we're just kind of letting people know we have nothing else to say, but you will be getting some decent coverage on that one from us and more like it in the future. So there we go. With there not being like a ton of news, yes, E3 is going to be all digital this year. Nintendo's pretty much always all digital, at least when it comes to their presentation. You know, we kind of saw it. It's probably going to be the case quite a bit this year.
It was digital last year, right?
It was.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And, you know, it just is what it is. It is what it is. So I know the disappointment for me is that I really thought it might be an opportunity for the four of us to go and cover it live, which was going to be super cool, but maybe next year. And so we'll still be covering it from the, who knows? Maybe we'll just go get a B&B, an Airbnb somewhere, and not just a B&B. We don't need a bed and breakfast, but like
just like watch it. Just
yeah, just do live like live coverage. Like just set up mics around a table and go for it. Who knows? Maybe we'll do something cool like that. We never know. But yeah, you can still expect quite a bit of coverage from us when that kind of drops. But if you hadn't heard yet, E3 is going to be all digital. So it's not going to be in person at all. Hopefully it survives. I don't know. I don't, you know.
Yeah, the ESA isn't selling itself very well lately. I mean,
I don't remember what last year was like.
PlayStation didn't do anything. Microsoft.
Yep. Oh yeah, PlayStation didn't do anything.
Microsoft played ball and opened the show on like. The show doesn't technically open until after like most of like the Nintendo like the show floor opens for people that are in the industry to go early, but it doesn't open to the public until like pretty much Nintendo is going that morning. So that's like the Tuesday. So the Sunday through Tuesday is kind of the pre stuff, which is what everyone tunes in for. And that kind of evolved and became E3, quote unquote. Hopefully this year, developers and studio like publishers have come up with some better solutions, better time gating, and find ways to get demos and more hands-on stuff to everybody. Because if you can put a better, I know people are, I think developers and publishers are worried about putting stuff out in people's hands that they don't have control over. But I think there's enough technology now with these new systems and other stuff that they can maybe put locks on capture cards and other kinds of things that you can't screen record Hulu on your computer. So like there's ways people can work around it, I'm sure. But like if they can find a way to protect whatever assets they have and also put out a product that they're confident in showing in people's houses, then it can be a better, more interactive experience. I think Jeff Keighley probably is already, since December ended, he's probably already getting ready for Summer Games Fest, because that ended up being like the shining star kind of E3.
He just said everything was Summer Games Fest. I feel like he's like, oh, there's a trailer. just randomly in the middle of the week. Yeah, it's Summer's Game Fest. Yeah, I did that. I did that. That's mine.
I mean, yeah. I mean, he pulled in some exclusives. I mean, didn't he? Was Elden Ring shown off there at that time?
Yeah.
So I mean, he's it's a time when the industry can't squander it because all eyes turn to gaming, not just the gaming eyes. And it's a USA Today and New York Times, like stupid outlets that have no business writing in video game stuff, come and watch and write about video game stuff.
Wow, no offense.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, sometimes they stay in your lane sometimes. You never know. But it's also good. It's good exposure for the industry. And the ESA hasn't been a good proponent of it because they've been charging crazy amounts of money to these developers that don't honestly need the ESA. The ESA needs them. And COVID times have definitely proven that publishers don't need the ESA. And it's just a good squash of like everyone in the same area. And now that it's not everybody in the same area, they need to find a way to make sure people care about what they're seeing, because it is an event and people get excited for it.
I mean, I think, go ahead.
Nope.
All right. So I love like the nostalgia that E3 brings with it being live and seeing gameplay. But the thing is, today we don't really see gameplay very often. Curious. It's all CGI trailers and it's just like, this could be a digital event. I don't know why they're spending so much money to bring people in. Like, yes, it's exciting and I don't want it to go away. But at this point, everybody is just doing these, like PlayStation has their State of Play. Nintendo has been doing Directs forever. Xbox, they still show up, but like their thing could also be digital. They don't.
But you don't get the Keanu experience if you go all digital.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You also don't get the Mario Kart 9 key lanyard that would be available.
I wonder if all those companies even ordered all their E3 crap. Like, I'm sure.
Send it to us. They probably have it. It's in the boxes.
It's going to be on my Nintendo. Just wait. It'll be there.
Yeah, those $35 pins.
Yeah, we got all of it.
So I thought it would be kind of fun. You know, we kind of talked about this a little bit last week, like maybe breaking up and breaking up from just talking about news and like kind of just discussing, like I said early on, I've been playing more Mario Maker, and Johnny, you even put out a tweet like that showed, I think you put it out today, right? Or yesterday?
Styles. It says styles, not style. It says, so on the game styles page, it has, you know, the I guess it's the Mario Maker 1 styles, right?
Oh, yeah, up top. Okay, I know what you're talking about.
It's like original Super Mario Bros. 3, new Super Mario Bros. And World. Mm-hmm. But then after that, it says extra game styles, and then it has just Mario 3D World.
Yeah.
That's not a plural, that's one.
Yeah, and it looks like there's a spot for another tile and everything. Like it looks like Mario Maker 2 feels like one of the most surprising games that Nintendo walked away from so quickly. And it does not feel like a complete game in more than one area. The netcode is horrendous in that game. We should all try to play four players sometime. But like when I've tried in the past, it's like, how is this game with such minor assets? Like, so why does it lag so bad?
And well, they even updated it, didn't they? Like they updated it. It was unplayable.
Yeah, it was unplayable at the very beginning. It did get an update fairly quickly. But saying that it's minimal assets, sometimes people put some crazy stuff on screen. So it shouldn't affect each individual instance the way it does. But some of those games can have some crazy stuff going on.
Oh yeah.
But
I'm talking about certain levels I've played that were like not.
And just it was the fact that four people can't play it because it's a lag fest is not great.
So here is my theory as to why they stopped supporting it. All right.
Okay. I'm ready.
They saw how bad people were at making these levels and they stopped.
What, really? You think
that's
no. No, I'm pretty sure the sales numbers didn't meet expectations and the player base probably dropped off really fast. So they thought it probably wasn't worth it to add more content. But now with the expansion pass, like, I think anything's possible. Any game could get updated and have DLC and just be included in the.
And what were the sales numbers, Josh?
For Maker 2?
Yeah.
Over 7 million. I mean, I'll pull up the exact
Mario. It's a Mario game.
Yeah, but it's like, it's a different. It's not a curated Mario. I don't know.
Well, like, it is, though. There was 100 levels.
The curated stuff. Yeah. They need to put out another 200, another 100 levels, like, and make it a 200 thing. Because that
was actually fun. The story mode was fun.
Yeah.
The speed runs were fun. The ninja speed runs. The, you know, unlimited challenges or the 100 man challenges. Like, that game has a lot going for it.
Yeah.
But I don't know why they stopped.
It's funny you talk, it doesn't have sales numbers for Nintendo to continue supporting it. Because I saw an article today or a statement today that, like, the director of Days Gone for PlayStation said PlayStation dropped them like a bad habit because they were a sales disappointment when they sold
more than Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah, like, and Ghost only sold 8 million copies. They sold more than that, and Ghost is referred as like this shining star of PlayStation 4.
Ghost
and
is actually good though.
True. I mean, don't tell that to Hate Zero. He'll come after you because he really enjoyed his time with Days Gone. But like, it's funny how just public perception and sales numbers can tell a different story. I think Mario Maker was it was a good flavor of the month. Like, there are people that are 1000% devoted to this game, and
Dragon Genie plays it like every day.
Yeah, like and they were playing Wii U. They were playing the Wii U right up until this version came out. Like, there are people that and I see stuff on TikTok of people doing the Kaizo stuff, and there are people that enjoy watching that crazy content. So it is
now I want to play it now I'm gonna download it again.
What feels like happened is that they had the assets ready to go, like Mario Maker or Mario 2 and Mario Land were like ready to go. They had the power-ups and then they were like, nah, let's just add these power-ups and call it good. And that could have been, I mean, this was 2019, right? Like, right in the midst of everything starting to go down. And maybe that's a factor.
They had their last update, like, really fast, right? Like, it was only, like, six months after, I think, the game came out.
I'll double check. I mean, they still have done some ninja runs and stuff like that. But, Cheesy, what were you going to say?
So, I mean, you bring up a good point that could have been it. I was going to say, I feel like Nintendo got butthurt for a couple of reasons. I think that it didn't have the same charm that Mario Maker 1 had on the Wii U. Like, that was a huge surprise, especially on the Wii U, where people didn't buy a Wii U. But the way that it blew up across YouTube really, I think, got them excited to make a second one and to put it on Switch. Like, that would be the ultimate image, right? And then I don't think that it popped off the same way that Mario Maker 1 did. Also, they got a lot of flack for and like, I think probably deserved, but they didn't have the online multiplayer when it released. I think everybody was kind of expecting that to happen, and that did not go over well. Eventually, they did put in the online multiplayer, but
and they couldn't even land on their feet with that. So
yeah, true. And so maybe even though it says Styles, they just didn't want to put up with Nintendo fans being like, where's the other packs? You know, when are you going to add more to, because Nintendo fans, or fans in quotes, are always doing that to Nintendo. You go on to any Twitter post and they're always asking for more and more and more. And I can imagine how tiring that gets.
Well, Nintendo's not afraid to shut it down and walk away. It's not any skin off their back because they already made their 7 million copies sold or whatever it was, and they're good with it.
Go ahead.
What I found odd about Mario Maker 2 is it didn't have things that were in Mario Maker 1.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it didn't have the Amiibo skins, which I...
That revitalized that game when they brought all those, and people made crazy stuff out of all the Amiibo stuff. They only have in this one, like, Link, right?
Yeah, Link.
Yeah.
But it's not even it's an actual mechanic. It's a power-up now.
It's a power-up. It's versus the skin that just falls off of you. There was some fun, cool original content that people were able to make with. They made like ice climber levels, and they made crazy stuff in the first one.
All right, hear me out. Maybe they weren't disappointed in the sales. They were actually ecstatic about the sales. And instead of putting more content into Mario Maker 2, they're putting it into Mario Maker 3.
Yeah, that's where my head is at too.
Or a 3D Mario Maker. I think that would do much better than a 2D Mario Maker if they could somehow figure it out.
Isometric 3D land, or like 3D world kind of style, where you don't have complete free range, but it's a guided path on a diagonal kind of deal.
Like 3D land on 3DS.
Yeah.
Here's what, touch talking sales numbers. This always blows me away. The Last of Us Part 2 has only sold 4 million copies.
That was a game of the year, right?
And
like Ghost is selling 8.
According to a Reddit post from 3 days ago, Part 2 still has made a profit for Naughty Dog.
And that game still doesn't have its multiplayer out yet.
What? So
that does not seem right. I don't know. I don't trust that.
Wait. The Reddit post's more updated. Forgive me. Literally, if you Google it, the top thing says 4 million copies.
That's probably like within the first month or something.
On this Reddit post, it says The Last of Us has sold 6.4 million copies. So it still hasn't sold. Still
less than Ghost.
And still less than Mario Maker. And it's not like, oh, this is good, this is bad. But like that, the way that game was marketed and the budget and everything.
And the system it was on, because how many PlayStation 4s are in the wild?
Yeah, 100 million, right?
Yeah, that's the attach rate, right? But then you look at the attach rate of Mario Maker 1 to the attach rate of Mario Maker 2 to the Switch, and that percentage is actually much, much lower on the Switch.
Yeah, because right? 4 million of 13 million is a pretty good attach rate. Yeah.
I mean the majority of people that bought a Wii U are the hardcore fans. And they are, I feel like Mario Maker is more of a core, like it's not a casual game, you know. It's not like your typical Mario. Well,
especially game. The first one is not a casual game because there's nothing. It's been a while, but I don't think there was anything curated about that game. Was there? It was kind of just make your own stuff and play your.
Well, they had like the 100 man challenge. They had the same challenges.
Like the stuff that would drive you to content, but there wasn't the 100 courses like they did for Mario Maker 2, which made it more of a everyman's Mario. If you just wanted to play 2D Mario games, levels, without kind of a set theme to it, that had great. Wonderfully designed levels from the people at Treehouse that made them. I mean, it was a good game.
According to chat, somebody in chat, and I'm doing more research to find out, but I hate that the Last of Us numbers are so difficult to find. I only like to reference it because
they don't want, they're ashamed. They're ashamed. They don't want people to know.
And that could be because it's like there's a debate on if it was the shipped numbers versus actually sold, whatever. But according to somebody in chat here, because it was released 4 times, it's now above 10 million. Right. So depending on the different versions and stuff.
Last of Us Part 2 has been released 4 times.
No, the original.
Original Last of Us. Okay.
And it'll be released again on PS5 because we're getting Uncharted 4.
We're getting all the Uncharted's. Here in a little bit,
but maybe the attach rate really is the deal. Maybe Nintendo looked at the attach rate to the Wii U and then went, "Why this game is a fraction of the attach rate." If they were expecting it to do 18 million or 12 million, and it did 7, maybe they're like, "That's a bust," that's a bust for them. I don't know. But it is weird that there's missing tiles. The game looks unfinished. That's what's so strange. And so my hope is that, they're going to go, look, the lifespan of the Switch is still only halfway there. This year, we start the halfway mark for the Switch's lifespan, according to what they told us early on. If that is the case, there's plenty of room for an Odyssey 2, another Mario Kart, another Breath of the Wild, another Splatoon. I wonder if you were to sit down at the early ideas of the Switch, and they were like, "Okay, look, we're gonna do sequels for everything," because they're just not anticipating third parties, right? They look at the Wii U, like their game plan had to go out further than just the first few years. Right. I mean, a business like that, they've probably got,
I think their initial plan, their initial thing they needed was to sell Switches. So they needed software. So they were releasing a piece of software, a game every single month, first party port or otherwise. And then they're like, "Oh man, we got something special here." Mm-hmm. So we need to continue this. Like if it were to flop like the Wii U, we would not see Breath of Wild 2 on the Switch. We would see it on whatever's after. And I think Xbox. What's going to happen. Xbox, because Nintendo's going to be sold. But like if now they're in a period that they need to keep up the software, but they also need to think on what's next. Like, what's your next console? And what you got to do is you just got to hold off on Mario Kart 9.
Stop.
Leave it sit for another three or four years.
There is a Nintendo leaker that's saying we're getting it. They had a title too, like Crossroads. Isn't that what it was called? Do you guys see this yet?
What's the highest selling console ever? DS with 150 million.
Well, I'm gonna need an aspirin to have a heart attack if there's really so a Mario Kart.
It's also not apparently being called Mario Kart 9. Home Circuit is taking that spot, and it's Mario Kart 10 / Crossroads is what I saw on this article.
What about Live? You just gonna forget about Live? That's not a number. Maybe it's Mario Kart 11.
Does tour count? Is it in the canon?
Tour does not count. No. Get that garbage out of here. That's
all right. Fair.
Micro.
Fair. But I really wonder. I mean, we are seeing so many sequels on the Switch. I mean, it would not surprise me at the 10-year mark of the Switch if, and I, you guys may think I'm crazy, but if we saw an Odyssey 2. An Animal Crossing 2. I don't think we'll see any more Smash. I think that was they sold us $120 worth of content for that one, right? And it did well. But I mean, yes, Nintendo has the indie support and there are some third parties there, but we're also not seeing, like, I feel like it's kind of slow. Like, we were getting a lot of, like, everything's coming to Switch, Doom, and we did just see GTA, but I mean that one's been kind of a mess, fire. Right? And
I mean, I think that's just an overall dumpster fire. It's not even
and already this year, like, Nintendo seems to be like they're coming out of their corner swinging, right? And Ubisoft's got the new Mario plus Rabbids, like we've said, but and that's a sequel already. Mm-hmm. That's another sequel. Mario Party already has a sequel. Now that's not unheard of, like Mario Party, that we've seen that before, right? But
Splatoon, but I mean, has two.
Splatoon's got a sequel.
Yeah,
this year is the year of sequels.
It is, but we have to see how those sequels sell first. Because even though we are getting them, we still have to see if people are enjoying the same kind of game or that same idea for them to keep going to make more sequels, or I guess threequels, for the Switch in the future. But we should also be getting some new IPs. Like the Switch is, they said at the middle of the halfway in their lifespan, right? So yeah, I can see all of these games happening, but we need to get through this year first. And I think this year is going to be massive, sales wise, but we just to see how well the games are received is another thing.
I think Breath of the Wild is going to be huge. Splatoon 3, I think, is a question mark.
No.
Do you really think that?
I don't think I don't think it's going to sell more than Splatoon 2.
I absolutely think it'll sell more than Splatoon 2.
I don't know. Splatoon 2 is like 12.
All they have to do is throw one or two Splatfests together in Splatoon 2 to get people ramped up for 3. They'll first off, they could probably, they won't drop the price. But people that have it will
apparently
see it.
I'm wrong. Chat is saying I'm wrong.
Go ahead, Crawler.
Because what was the, I have a Wii U and I didn't buy Splatoon on Wii, but like, or Wii U, but
big fan.
Yeah, I know. But with kind of the long leg that they can have with Splatfest and tying in other games and just whatever it is that they want to do every month, like that's the kind of interaction that people
you stop.
So what is Splatoon 2 in the top 10 on sales?
Yeah, it is
12.21 like, million copies sold worldwide.
Which is doubled the Wii U, and I think Crawler brought up a good point that like most people probably didn't buy the first Splatoon. And Splatoon 2, to a lot of people, is their first Splatoon. So Splatoon 3 is going to be their sequel.
And Splatoon 2 is technically 1.5, if we're going to be honest about it.
Well, and they're actually going to explore more of the lore and story in 3, aren't they? Because I didn't realize it was on Earth. Did you guys?
What?
I just love the place.
Where have you been?
I wasn't. I'm not paying attention. It's a multiplayer game. I don't know.
I'll teach you the lore later.
All right. Yeah,
we gotta have Splatoon lore.
Yeah, we're gonna
Cheesy
do it.
Leading up, Splatoon 3.
We're gonna do it.
Everybody should check out Cheesy's TikTok for Splatoon lore.
Is there story in the first? Do I need to go buy the first game? Is there story in the first game?
You got to get the wait. What's it called?
Because Callie and Marie are there, right?
Is it called Magma?
There is a story mode in both.
What's the manga? Right? Is that the
manga?
Manga. Ah, so close. I was trying. I was trying to channel my inner weeb and just really get it right, but I didn't. Sorry. Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle sold 7.5 million copies.
Wow.
What?
And it's going to be it's going to be a little bit different style, which I'm actually excited that it's going to be more action based and more less turn based mm-hmm. in this new one.
Oh, that sounds good.
So,
but
that's as many copies as Mario Maker.
Yeah, and people don't and have the buzz about it.
When that was the first year of the Switch, right? That came out.
It was.
Yeah,
the first year.
Yeah,
and Mario Maker's what 2.5 years old. Almost at 2019. This point.
Yeah.
So coming up on 3 then this summer, right? Because that was a summer release. Was that like a June game?
Yeah, it was a June game. It was the summer game.
Yeah. 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 To try to piece the puzzles together, I have no idea. Like to put the pieces together, I'm so clueless because like 7.5 million. I mean,
but that was like the, I think it's the, well, it was at one point the largest selling third party game. I don't know if it still is.
Yeah,
but those are insane numbers.
And Ubisoft makes money off selling us NFTs here later, so they make their money elsewhere.
You guys can't see Johnny just burying his head in his hand right now. Just,
I mean, I think
there's going to be NFTs in Mario Rabbids too.
I think NFTs coming to video games is a horrible idea, but regardless, Ubisoft makes their money in elsewhere. But like that's for a third,
one of the most profitable games they've ever had.
Well, Valhalla, I think Valhalla, I think, is pretty high up there. But Josh, like you were saying, I'm looking for Last of Us numbers and it is impossible. But they sold 4 million in the first weekend of Last of Us Part 2. But elsewhere, I can't find numbers. So it's like they don't want to tell people how many they've sold. Yeah. But they're happy about their first weekend because it's the highest selling PlayStation 4 title. It beat God of War and Spider-Man on opening weekend. So that's good for them. But yeah, everyone judges success in different ways, and even within the same company, like Sony, judging Ghost of Tsushima versus Days Gone, there's different levels of, I guess,
probably depends on budget.
You got to be the favorite child too, I guess, at some point, because Sucker Punch was kind of this anointed, like what they were seeing, and the hype leading into Ghost coming out was way up there. I think Days Gone had some hype. I was excited for it, and then it review flopped pretty bad, which hurt, but it apparently didn't hurt sales that much that they sold that many copies. So it is hard to tell what makes a successful game in the eyes of the publisher and the developer.
According to Game Rant, Far Cry 5 sold more than 25 million copies, which is the best-selling Ubisoft game.
But that is on...
How many copies?
How many platforms?
Exactly, right? That's PC, 25 million.
25, wow.
Yeah, but that's PC, Xbox, and PlayStation, right? So
I think Valhalla sold like 12 million copies or something like that, and that was... It's probably most...
I can tell you, I think right here, company's second most profitable game.
Valhalla?
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't seem.
I mean, they probably had
and Odyssey's probably right behind it because the AC games have been just getting bigger and bigger.
I thought you meant Mario Odyssey. I'm like,
I thought you meant Animal Crossing. AC around here is Animal Crossing. All right, don't forget it. No, I'm just kidding. It's the crazy thing is, it's just like it's one of those rare games with Nintendo. Is when I'm referring Mario Maker. That it just seems like the door just closed and they were like, we're done. And it's like, what? Like, this is a game that you could have sold DLC for. Like, and 7 million copies is still no
joke. But they don't sell DLC. They don't sell DLC that much.
But they were even in on it. They were in on it. They had Dragon Feeny and Cliffy. Like, didn't they have those people out to do an event at?
Yeah, they did the
World Championships or something like that. Yeah.
Championship, yeah.
Like they promoted it and they brought the most forward facing people of that community out to support that game, and then it did not have a very long lifespan that it was in the limelight.
We're bringing it back, so they make Mario Maker 3 with 3D. Maybe they'll call it Mario Maker 3D.
Well, getting to that though, John, like they could make 2D, like they did 3D world side scrolling, right? And we talked about this. I had a Mario Maker podcast, as you probably, you're so surprised, right? But I would talk at length, and we talked about it on this show, that like they could do an Odyssey style where you're just throwing the cap in 2D and then building stages based around ideas from Odyssey. Right,
I mean, they kind of also forgot about Odyssey, right?
Or find a way to do some of the verticality of the retro, or the wraparound kind of stuff that they had in Odyssey. They don't even have to do Odyssey style, but take they raised the ceiling on Mario Maker when they allowed people to go higher. Give kind of that change perspective on, because that was some of the best parts of Mario Odyssey, because Cappy got old quick. I don't know if I want to see an Odyssey 2. I want to see him innovate and do something new, just because Cappy got old pretty quick. But the retro stuff that you had when you went in and became 2D Mario, like, that was fun in Odyssey.
But that, I mean, that's the majority of Maker, right? Is the retro stuff too. The other thing is like, you know, we got Super Mario Party and then we got Mario Party Superstars, right? There's probably a lot of, I'm assuming some of the assets were easily interchangeable. Nintendo may, like I was talking about their game plan, again, it's all speculation, but they may have been like, yo, we can launch a bunch of these games and then reuse a bunch of these assets to then, because you know that Splatoon 3, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, is it a brand new engine? Anybody know?
For which sorry, which
for game? Splatoon 3, is it a brand new engine? Do we have any idea? Have we heard, like, I doubt that kind of information's even available yet, right? I don't
think so.
So there's going to be a lot of reuse of assets. Look at, I mean, Ultimate, right? There was always the debate. Is it a port? Is it a, like, that's a lot of reused assets. And there's nothing wrong. Like, I have no problem with that. If we get more content because Nintendo can go, look, here's Mario Maker 3 and you have everything that was in 2, plus we've been working on this other stuff that we were going to sell as DLC, but it's going to be better that we can just sell it as a brand new game because it's easier to market. And, you know, I mean, Johnny, you even said, oh, I'd have to re-download the game, right? Like, there's probably people that have traded that game in at this point, and, like, they don't even have
hopefully,
it anymore.
Like, the one thing that I was hoping that they would do from Mario Maker 1 to Mario Maker 2, I mean, everything's server-based, right? They could have allowed you to have your Mario Maker 1 levels in Mario Maker 2.
Yeah.
Like, that would be easy if they do have a Mario Maker 3, that you have all of the levels you created in 2 onto your 3.
Easy. Just hit the easy button.
It'd be right, easy. Johnny? It's all on the server.
Yeah. Captain Logan, which, shout out to Captain Logan. Go check out the Keel Hall podcast if you enjoy Sea of Thieves. He is a friend of the show and a good friend of mine. He said if you were to ask Nintendo what engines they use, they'd probably respond with magic. And you're not wrong. You're not wrong. You know, so I don't know. This conversation has been a blast because it's just kind of fun to try to peel back the curtain. We have no idea. We have no idea. My hope and my thought is that, yeah, they have the ability to fairly easily make a third game that now with 2 years more install base from what they had in 2019 could potentially sell that many more. Not to mention the other aspect that I forgot to talk about earlier is they have their new infrastructure for their netcode and everything. Yep. And maybe they just looked at two and they were like, this is... Maybe
it's a tangled web that they can't undo.
Let's just throw the whole extinguisher at it and go to the next project. You know,
like, that game can't be that. I mean, I don't know how game dev works. I don't know how a game dev works.
It's easy. They can bring you your first Mario Maker stuff, and yeah, that game can't be too complicated. You know,
it can't be that expensive to just, you know, reuse some assets and.
Koopa Troopa says, I do want to see the Cappy move in the next one. I think it'd be fun. I think it would add a whole other element.
The cat suit was cool. The cat suit.
Oh, the cat suit was great. Yeah. But I mean, could you imagine some of the levels where you're throwing Cappy, jumping, grabbing a shell, kicking it, and then go, like, the Kaizo stuff would get out of control.
I don't like that
with
stuff.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
I like levels that are designed like they are actual Mario levels. You are not meant to, that game was never meant to have shell jumps and pow jumps and
I love that stuff,
that nonsense. If you got this far, oh, it's going down now. Kaizo is I don't think it's not hard, it's just It's a completely different game.
Skill set.
It's not Mario. You're not good at Mario if you're good at Kaizo. It's not comparable.
Great, I'm not good.
They contribute to the most deaths of Yoshi.
Thanks a lot. I'm not good. Thanks, John.
No, I'm just saying you could be good at both, but being good at Kaizo doesn't automatically make you good at regular Mario.
It makes you a god.
Because show me one spot where you do a shell jump in a regular Mario game. You never do. Not even to get the secret areas.
Point, Johnny Bo. Cheesy, what about you? Where do you stand? Are you Kaizo fan or just traditional levels?
Honestly, yeah, traditional levels. Like Mario Maker for me, and maybe this goes back to my whole Animal Crossing rant. For me, I do not like designing. Like I just do not have that vision to design. And if the level doesn't work the way that I think it should in a regular Mario game, maybe it's just part of me is like afraid to even try to make a level. I don't know. Like it's just Mario Maker.
Have you not made any levels?
I'm with you. I bought a binder of graph paper when Mario Maker came out and I never used it.
I have a stylus sitting here.
I bought a stylus too. And then,
still in its little.
I bought the game because of the story mode. I was like, oh, that's really cool that they added levels.
Yeah. It was that? And then you built the Mario out of all the stuff. That was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. The story mode was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because it was made by actual Mario design.
No, and I've been having fun doing people's levels because a lot of people are like, oh, this isn't. What's funny is they're apologetic if they're like, oh, this is like a traditional. I'm like, no, it's cool. Like I don't care for like, let's throw every bit of garbage at the screen and try to get a star and then run through the like that kind of stuff is like, it's not, there's no, I want to maybe have some tricky jumps, but I also want to be able to be like, yo, I'm going to grab some coins and like the coins are going to tell me where I need to go. Like some good design, right? Like I love the game as a whole. I also love doing the crazy jumps and trying to pull off that stuff because it's like, for me, I just like learning those patterns and then being able to, like when you completely run through a Kaizo level because you've done everything so many times and you have the patterns down, it's almost like watching art because it's just like, it just flows. And it's like, not everybody can do it. Right. Some people are like, screw this. This is way too difficult. I'm not messing with it. And
different.
I feel like the only response is like, if it's not difficult,
Dark Souls is difficult. I don't think Dark Souls is difficult. Captain Logan said
it's just patterns
in the chat. It's just patterns. And that's all Kaizo is too. You're learning patterns.
Yep. That's fair. That's fair. To just try to jump in and just go for it though. Like you do have to learn the ability to do those. Yeah. You have to learn those moves to be able to then pull off the patterns. But yeah, I don't know. I said, I just love it as a whole. I like well-designed. Part of me wants to sit and make levels. Hate Zero used to get so mad at me, but I'm like, I wish they would have given us the ability to link our DS via like a download to our Switch while it was docked to sit and make levels and be able to use the stylus, you know, like that would have been making levels so much easier, or being able to have the level designer on the go with your DS and then being able to, maybe you couldn't even play.
Mario Maker was on the first one was on 3DS.
It was, yes, but you couldn't, it had no online. Like
they just need to release an app that would connect.
Oh my God. Maybe you could design it on the Nintendo Switch Online app. And
all right, Johnny's calling. I think it's time to wrap it up, because Johnny's getting ready to start yelling at clouds.
2 a.m.
I love Johnny. He's been my favorite Johnny. So guys, jump into the Discord, n64josh.com/discord. Make sure to follow all these guys on all their socials. We got a big year planned, a lot of cool stuff in the works. Like I'm very, very excited. So
be on the lookout for my Mario Maker levels.
There you go. And I'll play them. Like I will gladly.
That'll be fun. I think we should do that.
Let's do it. Let's design some levels for each other. Community.
I mean, I have levels designed that we could like. Well, have you never made a level? Have you guys not made levels?
I don't know if I have. I don't think I tried, but I don't know. I'd have to. It's been a while since I even put that game in, so I'll have to dig it out.
Do you even know how to play Mario Maker?
I only made Kaizo practice levels.
I have graph paper sitting over here with nothing in it.
He was like, "I'm channeling my inner Shigeru Miyamoto, and I will."
It takes a long time to design a level mm-hmm. that is, you know, not awful.
And I'd rather design a level on this than on my Switch.
On the gamepad, there you go. There you go. So, Captain Logan says, "I'm ready for more." The next episode where y'all talk about the latest Labo announcements. So, there you go. Can't wait.
Can are they still selling the VR? I didn't buy. That's the one Labo set I don't have is the VR headset. Are they?
eBay, man.
Nowhere, like, no, like $400. You're too late.
All right. Goodbye, everybody. Thank you for being here. We'll see you in the next one.
Thank you, chat.